Thank you so much. I think that's a brand new group. I'm not sure what you call it. Seven people. What do you call it? Septuagint? I don't know. Anyway, it was great. So it was great. And thank you so much for that. If you have your Bibles, just open them, please, to the book of John. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. And I had five messages ready for this morning. And I felt like four were heavy and one was good for the rain. So there we go. So this is the rain message. So John chapter number 2, and I want you to see this beginning of Jesus' ministry. The book of John is a wonderful, wonderful gospel. There are four gospels. Matthew makes us look at Jesus like a king. The book of Mark makes us view him as a servant. Luke makes us see his manhood. John lets us view him as God. And so there's some insights in the book of John that's not mentioned in any of the other gospels. It's called the Eagle Gospel. It flies higher than all the others. So I hope you'll notice this little story. It's his first miracle. And so notice, I'll read out loud if you could just follow along. If you have And we'll get right into the message. Here we go. John 2 and verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. When we get our Israel trip back going, that'll be one of our stops. We'll actually see where the water flowed into this neighborhood where they got the water, Cana of Galilee. So it's a marriage, and it says, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So notice just the social life of Jesus. He is hanging around his mom. So that's a good thing. As an adult, age 30, he still has a good relationship with his mother. Okay? And you got to work at that. And so she is invited. She gets, I'm sure, the little announcement in the mail, you're cordially invited to the marriage where Cana of Galilee. Please bring gifts. And men are looking for plenty of food. Men don't go to weddings to see the kiss.
Amen.
They go for the food.
Amen.
If they could, they'd rather just be eating the cake during the ceremony. I'm just telling you. But it says that they were both invited to the marriage. His disciples came also. So, there's quite a crowd. Verse 3, and when they wanted wine, we're not going to get into this, but realize that in the Bible days, they did not have two things to drink, just water out of the river or just alcoholic wine. They did also drink juices. They would have drank apple juice. They would have drank orange juice. They would have drank grape juice. So as soon as their kids were off of milk and being nursed, they didn't start giving their two-year-olds alcohol. All right, so that's a whole teaching and whole concept, but we're just going to use the word wine here just for sake of time. They have no wine. So they came and they said, they have no wine. They ran out of wine. Jesus said, verse 4, unto her, woman, it means dear lady, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He's referring to one day the crucifixion, where he would share the cup, the Lord's Supper, with his disciples. So his time of suffering, he's saying that cup is not yet. Verse 5, notice how wise the Virgin Mary is. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, that'd be a pretty good command for all of us, huh? Whatever he says to you, do it. And that was before the Nike commercials. How you like that? And then it says in verse 6, and there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece, or gallons. What these were, they were water pots made out of stone, maybe yay big. And as you came into a feast or into someone's house, you would wash your hands in that water. They would dip it out to wash your hands. They'd dip it out to pour it on your feet. So it was gallons. All right. So they're in little washing stations, if you will. And then it says in verse 7, Jesus saith unto them. Now notice quickly here. So they're out of wine. Here it is. That's one thing a Jew did not want to run out of: food or beverage at his wedding. How come? Just a little background. Because that man is trying to prove to the in-laws he's going to be able to take care of that woman. Now, if he can't even feed the people at the guests, at the ceremony, it doesn't look good. It's like they've run out of refreshment. They've run out of wine. They've run out of food. How's he going to take care of our relatives? You see, so it's an embarrassing situation. And the guy should have planned better. But notice it says, Jesus says in verse 7, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. So the servants fill up these water pots to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Governor of the feast was the guy in charge of the refreshments. Then the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Isn't that how God does things? The best is always yet to come. And so they had pretty good beverage, but when Jesus got done with it, it was great. It went from mediocre to marvelous. It went from frivolous to fabulous, and we could go on and on. When Jesus shows up, life gets a lot more exciting. And so that's his first miracle that he does. And notice in verse 11, it was so powerful. All he did was say, fill up these water pots. As soon as they obeyed, that clear water turned dark purple. And it said, and the servants knew. And it says in verse 11, the disciples believed on him there. So his disciples that were following him, some of them were not Christians yet. They hadn't been saved yet. But when Jesus did that miracle, they said, we want Christ as our Savior. You're the Son of God. It helped people get saved. So you say, well, what's the whole thought of the message here? Well, let's have prayer. And I want to speak this morning on this subject. Are we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet?
Yes, sir.
Father, bless this time that we have. Thank you for the enthusiasm here. Thank you for the Word of God. This very first miracle of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you have to read in between the lines a little. Sometimes we think Jesus was very stoic. Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up. Good job. I don't think it was like that. Hey, fill those water pots up with water. And as soon as it turned to wine, I can just see Jesus looking at all the servants and doing this. Just kind of winking her. It's wine. A miracle's happened. Yeah, sure did. Sure did. My Father.
Amen.
Through me. I think Jesus was fun to be around. I don't think he was as boring and stoic as sometimes we paint him. When Jesus did miracles, he was always creative. To some, a lady jumps and touches his clothes. She's healed. Another, he says, go show yourself to the priest. As soon as they turned around, they were healed. Others, he touched their eyes and they were healed. Others, he took mud and stuck mud on their eyes. They were healed. Another one, he just spit on the ground and they were healed. It's unbelievable. Sometimes he would say, according to your faith, be it unto you. He would speak and they would be healed. He said things, he did things, but almost every miracle was unique and creative. He did it differently.
Amen.
Jerry Pertell, good friend of our church, he took over as an engineer at a company. And the owner of the company said, Pertell, when you stop having fun, you need to leave our company. When it's no more fun, you need to get a different job. He said the boss man would walk in sometimes into the company and he'd say, Pertell, are you still having fun? Yes, sir. He said, all right, just want to make sure. Are we having fun yet? Sin takes the fun out of our lives. Gives us temporary fun and then no fun. The Bible talks about this concept. It calls it the second watch. What's that mean? Here's the process. We start something new, whether it's a marriage, a relationship, a friendship, a ministry, a job, and it is fun. And it is exciting for a while. You ever notice? Then the excitement and the fun wears out. Maybe you even say words like this. This is getting old. No, you're getting old. The new has worn off. The fun is no longer here. I just kind of feel like I'm in a rut. Someone said a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out of it. That's what someone said. We're talking about a job, a marriage, a ministry, a relationship. What happens when people get bored? Let me give you a story quickly in the scriptures. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we have Solomon, wisest man in the world. He's David's son. What happens? He gets wisdom, and the Bible says he also got riches. You know the story. It's in the book of Kings. But Ecclesiastes, he writes, he said, I've got 1,000 women in my life. He said, whatever I want to eat, I can have to eat, breakfast, lunch, supper. He had chefs. He had a house that took 13 years to build, not because it was built in Napa and it took that long to get the permits, but it was just magnificent. It was huge. It had gold. It had ivory. All these things. He had money. He had women. He had fame. He wrote several books of the Bible. He was a songwriter. Queens made appointments just to come and meet him in person. He had notoriety. He was famous. He had everything we think it would take to be happy. Yet he said this, therefore, 2:14, I hated life. Solomon was suicidal. Solomon wanted to kill himself. He said, I've chased all these things I thought would make me happy, and I'm still not happy. And here's the key word he uses. He said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Empty of empties. He said, everything I've lived for is below the sun. I've not lived for eternal things. I've lived for temporary things, and they don't satisfy. Amen. Hey, ask the rock stars. Amen. Ask the movie stars. Ask the billionaires. Nothing's wrong with being famous or having money, but they've got everything it seems, and they're miserable, and they're full of addictions, and they go from a relationship to relationship to relationship, and they try this a while, and they try this a while. Nothing satisfies, because only Jesus and eternal things will satisfy our heart and our life. We call it boredom. We get bored. Instead of there being an excitement in our heart, there's a yawn in our heart. You know, I've been to several weddings in my life. I have never seen the bride start yawning coming down the aisle. Dun, 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 dun. I've seen the groom weeping because he has to pay for part of it. But I've seen her parents weeping, but dun, 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 dun. Pastor, you're pretty good at that. I know I've done it a lot of times. Dun, dun, dun. I've never seen him do this. Hold on. Oh. I've never seen a quarterback done the Super Bowl. Team down! Ready, set! Wait a minute. How come? Because there's something exciting about it, but it's natural to get bored in life. Amen. We get bored. That's when we start drinking. That's when we start drugs. That's when we have to take the TikTok challenge to run across the street in front of an 18-wheeler and not get killed and have our best friend video it. Or slap our parent, get it on video and post it. Yeah. Why would people do those things? They're bored. There's no excitement in their life. Amen. We ride the tricycle, we're bored. Then it's a 2-wheeler, we're bored. Then a motorcycle, then we're bored. Then we have to go 160 miles an hour on a motorcycle. We ride the swing set, then we get bored, then it's a roller coaster, we're bored, then we gotta get on drop zone, drop 380 feet. Yeah! You need to be in the mental institution if you ride drop zone. Amen. In my opinion. See, he just proved it right there by saying that. Yeah. We reach a point where we get bored, and then we look for a new thrill. Now let me just encourage you. Married folks, in a marriage, when the thrill is gone, you're in danger. Amen. Amen. I said, so what's going on? He said, it was exciting, but it's not anymore. You have to work at that all the time. Yes, parents have to work at that at their home all the time. Boring. We eat cereal on Monday night, enchiladas on Tuesday night. Same thing, same old, every night. It's always the same. There's got to be some excitement, some thrill, some variety. Our kids sometimes, when they're growing up, they'd be invited to birthday parties. Some people know how to do a birthday party. Others don't. Well, there's a cake. That's the whole plan. There's the cake. Others, they got the water balloon fight, and they got the little party favors for those that come, and then there's games playing, and then there's the happy birthday, and then they open it, and then there's ice cream on top of that. And some people know how to do it, some people don't. We used to tell our kids, they'd say, we don't want to go to that party, it's so boring. We would always say, take the party. No, that's not what I wanted. Why are you interrupting my story? No, that's just what I wanted. Take the party with you. Hey, you want a party? Take it with you. Where's that in the Bible? A merry heart, like a medicine. A merry heart is a light heart. You take it with you. You take it to your job. Job can be a party. You take it into your marriage. The marriage can be a party. You take it into your Sunday school class. Sunday school class is exciting. It's a party. You take it into your neighborhood. You're an exciting neighbor. You say, well, when the new wears off, what do? You keep doing right. Amen. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the end of chapter 12, he says, I tried liquor, I had my own vineyards, I tried women, I had fame, I tried knowledge, I got education, I got degrees. And Solomon says all these things he tried when he was backslidden. The last verse he says, this is the whole conclusion of the matter. Hey, algebra was never exciting to me in high school. Calculus, geometry, I never enjoyed it. Can't wait to get to geometry. I love that class. Algebra, pi r squared. No, pi's are always round. I knew all that. There's going to be some classes you don't enjoy. You just got to do your duty. Amen. Young people, let me say this. Your mom and dad oftentimes go to a job. So you just say, oh, can't wait. Man, construction, it looks so much fun. Yeah, and you're bidding. And then you get outbid, and then you're bidding, and your workers don't show up, and then someone doesn't pay you, and someone's pressuring here, wondering why they didn't get paid, and price of materials go up. Then it rains, and it floods your job, and then you... It's not always fun. Going to work isn't always fun. Ministry's not always fun. Soul winning's not always fun. This and on a bus route's not always fun. Being married's not always fun. Raising kids is not always fun. But you just got to get through some of those seasons by duty. I don't want to show up to work. Show up anyway. I don't want to pay my taxes. Pay them anyway. I don't want to pay this speeding ticket. See Jeff Hansen. He'll take care of it. He'll pray for you to pay it. See, sometimes I think we view others and say, they're always excited about everything. If I had their life, most of life is duty.
Yes, amen.
Stop for a moment. Here's Noah. Oh, how excited. He's building the ark. Yeah, 100 years. He's nailing nails and planing wood and rounding up animals. Doesn't even talk about that. I don't think it was real fun. People spitting on his ark, graffitiing it, calling him names 100 years. And then all we get is about a chapter or two about him getting on and being saved. David, cool life, killing giants. He only killed one in the whole Bible. Most of the rest of his life, he's fleeing for his life. King's trying to kill him. Son's trying to kill him. Philistines are wanting to kill him. It wasn't always easy. I think of Moses. He's leading 1 million people. Great leader. What a leader. He got the 10 commandments twice. He only did that 2 times. Rest of the time, people are picking up stones. We ought to kill him. We never wanted him to lead us. Where's our water? Where's our food? Who are you? 80 years of that nonsense. What did he do? He just did what God called him to do. He did right. He did it when he felt like it. He did it when he didn't. He did it when he was excited. He did it when he was discouraged. Wonder how John the Baptist felt. He's eating locusts. I never liked locusts. You know, you eat them head first. Oh, that's scary. No, I don't eat locusts. But anyway, he ate wild locusts and honey. He only had a 1 year ministry. King locked him up in jail. Wonder how exciting that was. I doubt he sang that song, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I don't think he was singing that. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I'm about to be in heaven on time. I don't know. Wonder how the Olympians feel. Training all those years for one event on a worldwide platform. Training, practice, training, practice, working out. NFL player. Oh, I'd love to be an NFL player. I'd love to be on TV. Yeah, it's high school and it's college and it's weight room and it's diet and it's camps and it's training and it's saying no and it's no drugs and supposed to be no alcohol too and all these things to be on TV to play pro ball. Wasn't all fun and games. Wasn't always exciting. By the way, our nation was built on leaders and on military that didn't always have fun. You find our military, we've got a Vietnam vet here today. You get him alone sometime, ask how much fun it was defending our country. But he loved our country and he did right because he was supposed to. You find other military people in this room that are vets who put their lives in danger. It wasn't always easy laying in the mud and fire coming over and bullets flying and bombs and burying friends. Sometimes life is that way. So what can you do? How do you bring the party with you? I want to give you just several ways maybe to spice up the life a little bit. I said something about it years ago. I got a letter from one of the kids going to Bible college. None of those in the room here today. But he wrote and he said, Pastor Ray, is it worth finishing college? Is it worth serving the Lord? And immediately I said, sure, it's worth serving God. It's a wonderful life. He said, well, I just want to make sure before I put in 4 years at college because it's sure not fun now. Then I asked him, why did you call me? Of all the people you know, here's what he said. What a compliment to me. He says, because it looks like you have more fun than anybody I know. Amen. I looked at him over the phone, look. And I said, I think I do. Teenager, life really can be fun. I know you're not wicked if you don't like school. Oh, I hate school. Good. I did too. I think it's part of being a wise person. I don't enjoy going to work. I don't enjoy staying late. As a pastor, there's parts of my job I don't enjoy. It's like getting a phone call in the middle of the night and a police officer shows up at the door and says, we have to notify someone, their loved one has passed away. Can you go with me? I don't enjoy those. I don't enjoy being the one that tells someone their loved one's passed away. I don't enjoy being in the hospital when their loved one passes away. There's some things that are not going to be enjoyable, but God still called you to do. So how do you bring the party with you? How do you end up saying, is it fun yet? Yeah, still fun. One, you're going to have to learn how to laugh at yourself. You're going to have to lighten up. The word merry means light. A merry heart, a light heart. That means this. Don't be too heavy in your thinking. You say, what do you mean? All right. One day, I stopped someone in church. They were in this section years ago, and I said, hey, how you doing? Here's what they said. What do you mean by that? I mean, hey, how you doing? I mean, how do you interpret that any other way? What do you mean? I said, hey, how you doing? Now look, you're going to have to lighten up. If you're that type person, you're going to have to lighten up. Because you're going to rub off. The no party is going to rub off on your marriage, on your kids. And they're going to say, we don't want anything to do with this kind of a life. Years ago, I'm not going to talk about death or dead animals or anything like that, but I was on an alligator hunt on the Blind River. I was just practicing shooting this rifle into the water, and somehow the alligator swam real fast right in front of it, and then the Lord took him home. Didn't mean to hurt him, but they're so fast. On the way back to the shore, we were with this guy in a boat, and I gave the video camera to somebody, and I said, I'm going to wrestle him. You say, you're going to do what? I'm going to wrestle the alligator. Pastor, he's dead. I said, I know, but there's no other chance to wrestle him. I jumped in the water. He's video. Brother Maui, you did the video work on that. And I'm flopping and screaming, and there's people on the shore just watching. The guy who owned the boat said, I've never seen this in my life. I said, because we've never been on your boat before. I said, I only get one chance to do this. This is going to look like I'm wrestling a live alligator. Amen. I've shown that video I don't know how many places. Kind of crazy. It was kind of crazy. Years ago, I decided to try my hand at construction. You men that are contractors and do construction, it's such an easy job. So I was going to roof my house. I was 22. And I said, look at this. You just take the shingles off. You roll the row roofing on. Get the little stapler. Nothing to it. I pulled half the roof off of our house. I'm 22. We just bought this house. Leon is supposed to show up and help me. He never shows up. At noontime, the blue skies turn black. And it begins pouring down rain. I was outside literally saying, you wouldn't do this to me, would you? Come on, I'm serving you. Don't do this to me. I'm trying to roll that row roofing out. Lightning is striking right next to our house. I jump off the roof, come in the house. You've heard of drop tile ceilings. When the tiles get full of water, they start dropping. That water started coming in. It looked like Niagara Falls. I mean, it was in sheets. One of our daughters, it's raining in our house. It's raining. Those tiles were dropping. The paneling was buckling. 2 inches of water on top of the carpet. It's all over our television, our couch. The other half, I'd not ripped the roof off. So my wife and I are just sitting on the bed as our house is being destroyed. Said, what'd your wife say? Here's what she said. Uh-oh. It's probably the wisest thing she ever said. She didn't say anything. I mean, how often you marry a guy that knows how to rip the roof off right before it rains and it just rains all in the house? What I'm trying to say is if your house is in good shape, tear it up. Someone needs to have a party at your house. I was speaking in Texas recently, and there was a pastor. It was just so funny because I was getting ready to speak, and he stood up and he said, we've already got plans for the conference next year. The speakers next year are Cecil Ballard, Joe Arthur, and Brother Smith. That's our speakers. Hope you'll be here. Well, they didn't call my name. So I'm getting ready to speak, and it's just announced I'm not coming back. So I just wrote that. I said, you know, it's not every conference you go to where right before you speak, it's like, we're not having him back, but he's going to speak right now. You got to bring that party with you. A merry heart doeth good. It does you good.
Amen.
And it does the people you're around good.
Amen.
You want to win people to Christ? Psalm 126 says, the Lord hath done great things for us. You know who said that? The heathen. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for you. Then we say, the Lord hath done great things for us. It ought to be people that know us say, you have got something. You have got a joy. You've got a laughter. You have got something inside. Life is exciting. You bounce out of bed, still drag out of bed. What is it that you have? See, most of our life will be lived in the norm, not in the special. Jesus did so many miracles, but that wasn't every day of his life. David killed one giant. Moses crossed the Red Sea, but just one time. Moses was normal, so you got to spice up the normal days. For many years, when our kids were young, Christmas Eve, I would dress up like Santa, the skinny Santa. Bigger now. And all the kids would dress up like elves. And we would stop by brand new people's houses or people that it was their last Christmas. Would stop by and ho, 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 and would give them some candy and some odds and ends. Our kids still talk about that. The party was with us. I was in Tennessee. You say, Pastor, all you're doing is telling stories. I got points in just a minute. I'm almost there. I was in Tennessee in an airport maybe 6 years ago. We're getting ready to board a pretty small plane. And here's the seated section. I'm dressed casually and I'm looking over. I see a guy with a long white beard. White eyebrows. White mustache. It's real. Big pot belly. He's got on suspenders with elves. Green suspenders. He's got a bright red shirt on. I hear his phone go off. Ching, 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 ching. It was jingle bells. Ching, ching. He picks it up. I hear him laugh. Oh, 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 oh. I mean, it was Santa. I couldn't help it. I just walked over to him. No one was talking to him. I couldn't believe it. I said, thanks for the bike you gave me in second grade. He looked up real smart. I knew you'd like it. I just felt like a little kid. It was like, he's the real deal, or at least he looks like it. We sat down and started talking. He said there's, I believe the number was 1,300 of us. He said there's actually a Santa school. You get background checked. You practice being the Santa. So when the high dollar people want a real Santa, we go. Like we'd go to the White House. We'd go to the millionaires' houses, NFL players' houses. We have the props for the photos. He even had coins that were Santa coins. He showed me a picture on his phone, all his reindeer flying with him. I mean, everything was set. He had the ho, ho, ho down, all of that. I couldn't help it. We got on the plane. I sat across from him. I wrote him a Dear Santa letter. You know, I think the world, for the most part, is just so bored. They're looking for someone that still has a twinkle in their eye, that hasn't lost their youth and their childhood, who's still fun. Let me ask you a question. If you're going on vacation, would anyone ever want to go with you? You want to be the type of person that, hey, if we ever travel, we want to go with you. You look like you'd have a fun time. Some of us, that comes natural. Others, we have to be taught. So what are some practical thoughts here? And we're out of time. I don't have my watch with me. The battery just died. And so here we are. We're almost out of time. Here we go. So here's the concluding thoughts here. What can you do to get the boredom out and to make life special? Number one, invite Jesus everywhere you go. Lord, I'm going to work. Will you go with me? I sure need you. Come on now. Invite him everywhere you go.
Amen. That's good. Good one.
Invite him everywhere you go. Number two, think of heaven. Someone said to one Christian, they said, you must go to heaven every night, all night long, because you smile so much in the daytime. I was saying it when we repaired our house down the street where we live. Right now there's 5 men that's in heaven that helped work on that house 11 years ago. 5. I don't pity them. I miss all of them. But I think of them often. What are they doing today? I thought of my father today, my earthly father. He's been in heaven 4 years. He's young, jet black hair. I know he has it. And I know he can't wait to meet me at the pearly gates, hug me and say, son, you're not going to believe it. Let me show you around. Right now, they're building your mansion. Right now, thousands of people every day are entering the pearly gates. It's a real place.
Amen.
And it won't be long. Hey, in 100 years, none of us are going to be here anymore. We're all going to be up there.
Amen.
And I hate to tell you, ladies, I'm not being insulting. Some of you we won't recognize. Because you get your natural hair color back. I told someone recently, I said, my mother's 91. She does not have one gray hair. They said, what? I said that she does not die. Invite the Lord. Number two, think of heaven. Number three, get in this book right here. It says, thy mercies are new every morning. Life can't be same old, same old. You want something new and fresh and exciting, you got to read this book. You're going to say, I never saw that before. Boy, that's brand new. It's been there, but wow, look at this. This book puts the party in your heart. Number four, get around some new people.
Amen.
Pastor, we don't know anybody in the church. We've just been here 63 years. Here's my advice to you. Talk. Don't be the last one here and the first one to leave. You want to talk to some people. Okay, that didn't go over very well, so here we go. Ladies liked it, men don't. Men don't talk, men eat. I understand. Quickly. In your life, add variety. Ladies' conference talks about it. Instead of just eating at the table all the time, eat on the floor some night. Eat with chopsticks. Eat outside. Take a walk in the rain. Everybody get an umbrella this afternoon. Hey, we're walking around the block. In the rain? Yeah! You know your kids will be talking about that. It doesn't always have to be a Disneyland or a Hawaii. There are some simpler trips than that. Drive to Taco Bell. Drive through the drive-thru, but just don't order anything. I'll hurry. I could go all day. We did a teen activity years ago. We called it a progressive supper. Usually that means you're eating salad at one person's house and the meal at another. No. We did fast food. So we pulled up to McDonald's. We all went in. We got a napkin. We got back on the bus. Went to Burger King, we got the burger, got back on the bus. Went to Sonic, we got a toothpick, got back on the bus. Went to another restaurant, got our soft drink, got back on the bus. Went to another restaurant, you need the bathroom, this is all we're doing here. Use their bathroom. We did the bathroom at their place. When it came to the French fries, I said, no one is talking. I just wrote one order of French fries, please, on a piece of paper. I said, line up, No talking the whole time we're here. As soon as we got in that restaurant, you could hear them, "Hey, there's a bus here, make the..." They're cooking hamburgers, cooking all kind of stuff. And it's silent in the lobby. Silent. First person came up. And all the workers are looking like it's silent. No one's talking. And then we heard them say, "They're deaf. They're deaf." And the next, and you know how hard it is to be quiet, you know. And so all the kids are about to crack up and just, you know, they'd get their french fries. They're over here eating it in silence. And the next one, eating it in silence. And now we're just eating all the french fries in silence. Then on the way out, we said, "Thank you!" And we got back on the bus. It didn't cost a whole lot extra. Just thinking. Bring the party with you. A little variety. A little variety. And then last, and I'm done. Look for Jesus. Maybe every day just kind of pull the curtain back and say, maybe it's today, huh? Maybe today I'll see you face to face. And be walking the streets of gold and leave all this stuff behind. Folks, for some of us, you know, growing older is no fun. I'm not even trying to be funny on that. The older you get, it's more creaks, more aches, and then you start thinking, is it going to be a heart attack? Is it going to be cancer? Am I going to die of a stroke? Is it going to be leukemia? Am I going to have Alzheimer's? Is it going to be dementia? How am I going to go? But when the trumpet sounds, we skip all that stuff. We don't have to live out the rest of our lives. The Lord is coming back soon. What an exciting life the people in this room ought to have this week. Now, I want to say this. If you're not a Christian yet, if you've never received Christ, one of the people I spoke to right before church, he said, "I'm not saved yet, Pastor. I'm thinking about it. I'm not saved yet." None of this starts till you get saved. Amen. Because you really don't have a reason to smile or laugh because you know where you're going at the end of this life. But we who are saved, we've got a lot of reason to smile. Amen. And laugh and have joy. Let me ask you a question. Life. Are we having fun yet?
Yes, sir.
One person. Billy said, "Yes, sir," but he's not even smiling. That's because Jennifer poked him. She poked him and said, "Say it." Some of you used to laugh, used to smile. And I know what happened. Life gets tough. Grief is real. Stress is heavy. Just working and making ends meet is difficult. And that's why we have to have this supernatural joy that only God can give. It doesn't come from stuff, but it does come from Him. And if you do not know Him as your Savior, I invite you, just like that song, "Just as I am, I come." Come to Him today. He'll take you as you are. You're not joining a church. You're letting Him forgive your sins and write your name in heaven. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, that's a step toward having all that joy as well. Amen. Water doesn't save you, but it is a step of obedience, and God will start blessing you. Whatever your need today, we'll invite you to make a decision. Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us these many, many years. Even before You made us. I pray You would help us. What we talked about today is exactly what each of us needs, and I do too.